Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Well, put an old jumper on my head and give birth to me on the Friday the 13th. We're back!
Wow!
Wow! Okay. I don't know if I can do that. That's a big ask.
I have
no idea
where I was going with that. But
no, neither did me.
I had the Jersey Devil in my head. But I never kind of got round to revealing that. Right. This is our fourth week, guys.
Yes.
Woohoo! One whole month.
This is probably a record. I think I might have said that last week, but this is the new record. Four in a row.
One whole month.
That's a whole month. It's an Earth month.
If we just keep doing them every week, we're breaking our record. Every week, as we could effectively apply for Guinness Book of World Records every week.
Yeah, and we can keep having this exact same conversation every single week.
I mean, we'll have no listeners, but we'll have records.
It's worth it to get in the Guinness Book of Records. I might actually give them a call because they'll be like, what are you talking about? And we say, well, we're a podcast. We've been going for years, but now we're doing it every week. And that's a new record for us. And each week we're breaking that record. So we're looking at getting into the latest copy of your book.
Please.
Hello? I mean, since back in the heyday of 2008 when we were actually on the radio, forced to go out every week, and we did that for a number of months, of course, on three different stations. But since then, there's been like what 15 years or something since then, we are now the best we've ever been in terms of turning up.
The content of the show is terrible, but we're turning up, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, big round of applause for us.
Very good you specified that it's a Earth month that we go by with the release of our podcast.
We are going by Earth months, which I think is surprising. Yeah.
Previously, we went by Pluto months, which explains the distance between releases.
That's exactly it. We got that wrong, didn't we?
We did. Yeah,
we'll do one every Pluto month. And then when Pluto disappeared or got knocked off the science list, we're like, oh, that's us fucked. And then it came back.
And we're like, yay, we can come back now.
Now, I want to have a quick chat here at the top end for the listeners to describe to you out there, the fans, what we're wearing. And so I'm wearing my Cryptid Factor uniform with the white classic tee and burgundy beret.
He's not even joking. He is not even joking.
Now, Buttons, of course, what's your situation?
Well, I don't have a...
Hang on, there's a human head behind you. Please explain that to the audio listeners.
Well, I just...
It's a young lady's head.
A young...
What's happening there?
No, I have a mannequin's head.
Oh, God, that's creepy.
Isn't it?
Wow.
Isn't
yeah.
It?
Who is she?
I call her Barbara.
That's my mum's name.
Exactly. That's why...
It was the weirdest thing. There was this old rundown house that Michelle and I bought.
As you do.
As you do. And I had to sleep this first night there myself, and it was the creepiest place.
Wow.
It was genuinely pretty rundown. And late at night, I'm going around with my torch because the power's not on yet, and I open up a cupboard that I hadn't seen before, and there's about half a dozen of these heads, these mannequin heads, all just staring at me in my torchlight.
Oh.
It was
yeah. The off-putting.
X-file-y moment. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Can we quickly address something that we just sort of mowed over? The fact that you have built in your shed a shed. your shed has a shed. You are in a Russian doll version of a shed right now. You're in the second layer down.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Well, because we needed a little cryptid factor hut. So I thought, well,
yeah.
And if I had built it an outside one, I would have had to make it like weatherproof and everything.
Yeah. Well, you've done well.
Thank you. More importantly, Dan.
Dan, we need to discuss your look. For those at home not viewing this visually, Dan, from where I'm sitting, I initially thought he was dressed as a New York City cop. So he's got this weird hat on. But now that I can see clearly, it's not. It's actually a baby grow that you've fashioned onto your head. And it's got... Please explain.
Yeah, it's my little boy's baby grow with a big Cryptid Factor logo sitting in the middle. And
right.
He apparently is the size of my head.
Wow.
It fits perfectly. It's got the arms. The arms could be used as little wings.
It looks like a
so
little
if anyone's
bat.
Watching this video, it's a...
It looks that like actually, a little bat.
It looks like the Batman.
It looks really
yeah.
cool.
It looks super cool. I think I might wear this out.
Well, this
so I'm
this is off. All great audio for the podcast. But what I wanted to round it up with, we are hinting and teasing you audio fans out there that there is a visual content version of this show, which we will be uploading at some point on the, I believe it's called Patreon.
That's correct.
That's well done.
You got it.
Well done.
You know, I hate it when I ask something and then there's a real pause from both of you.
Yeah, we both just have to check it in our internal systems and just check it against the filing system and go...
It's a tough word.
Is it it's Patreon, isn't it? Not Patreon. I mean, yeah. I'm... Yeah.
Patreon.
Patreon.
One of the two.
Well, but this is okay, the thing. Well, but isn't it Patreon. Funny because this show is now, 12 years old? We were the very first radio show about cryptozoology, apart from maybe, you know...
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've got Coast to Coast
Coast
and things like that here in America that, you know, do all paranormal activity, and that's over the actual radio airwaves. But, yeah.
And now it's only... We've been watching all these other podcasts and they're all making this...
Monetizing
it.
It's not even that we want to. I think it's just we feel left out by not doing it. And, you know, we're three geeks that have had our whole lives being taken advantage of. And, you know, I, for one, I'm sick of it, you know. I don't get invited to parties. I give you all this free entertainment. You have a good laugh. And then you head off and go and hang out with your cool mates. Well, what am I doing? Oh, I'm just sitting here reading the next, you know, Dungeons & Dragons book till you can let me turn up again. That's not true. None of that's true.
That's really true.
It's a little bit true.
The cool thing though, right? Patreon, what's going to be cool about this is it's not just going to be the video of what we're doing. We're just going to start uploading, you know, I'm going to the world's first dinosaur park very soon. I'm going to make a video while I'm there because it's got an incredible history and all the dinosaurs look ridiculous.
Wow.
They got it completely wrong, but they're perfect. It was the ultimate original cryptid example of dinosaurs when no one knew what they were. It was a new concept.
Yeah.
The man who coined the word dinosaur was the person who helped design these dinosaurs.
Wow.
No one had any idea what they were. So it'll be packed with stuff like that. I'm excited for it. We're going to create a channel.
That's awesome. We get a channel.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm bored of talking about that.
No way. Really? Bored about talking about money? Come on. But the other thing that we are looking to do is to start sending out, you know, little treaties.
Treaties?
What are you talking about?
You know what a treaty is.
We're going to send out like little badges and, you know, stuff. You know, little treaties.
Stop setting up your own little club where you can send out sweets to kids. I'm not being part of that.
Just make sure it's a treaty and not treaties. We don't want to send formally concluding ratified agreements between states. We don't want to get political. Buttons has accidentally sent out treaties.
Are we going to be the first official podcast that bridges the gap between the United States and Russia?
Yeah, exactly.
Through some sort of peace treaty.
Only if they both listen to our podcast and pay for Patreon.
Right,
that's the thing.
Right, right.
Our Patreon account wants to bring people together.
Okay, cool. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk more about that when it actually happens. Yeah, it could be a couple of years away. In the meantime, got a new segment. We're going to kick things off with this one. It's called Three-Way Vibus Update.
What?
It's three-way. It's Vibus. It's a whoop update. Three-way. So basically,
this sounds really dodgy.
Well, because we're in three different continents, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And I want to get a sort of an update on the virus, but also the vibe. So it's called the Vibus update. So just like where you are, what's the vibe like in terms of how people are because of the current pandemic? Okay.
Okay.
It's pretty simple. I mean, it's a dodgy name. I'll give you that.
I was wondering. It sounded a little bit sexual, and now that you've explained it, I wish it kind of was.
It sets you up, gets you excited, and then you realise, oh no, it's actually not worth listening to. But anyway, so we'll quickly run through it. What's New Zealand like right now?
We've let the cat out of the bag again. Unfortunately, there's been a couple of virus cases. We went for about 3 months there.
Yeah.
With no virus. And it was weird because you sort of went straight back to normal life and it felt like you're in this kind of weird little world separated from the rest of the world because we could just get around and hug people and, you know, go to restaurants and all that kind of stuff.
We almost felt guilty, didn't we?
Yeah, kind of felt guilty.
What about London? How's that feeling?
Terrible. London's
oh, God.
Terrific. It's like post-apocalyptic. I actually went into central London the other day and I got the London Underground, which felt like I was properly taking my life into my own hands.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But there was no one on it. So I sort of acted all brave when I got out on the other side. And it's empty. But we've all been pretty good at isolation. I saw a friend who's been particularly good at isolation. He, since it broke out, has not hugged a single person outside of his wife. But unfortunately, that same day, a friend of ours came to see us who had recently lost someone, and he immediately gave him a hug. And then he said, "You're the first person I've hugged in 4 months." And the friend who lost someone said, "Well, you've hugged the wrong person because I've literally hugged about 600 people in the last week off the back of this bereavement."
You've just sucked in
600 hugs off the back of me.
Yeah. And LA, just briefly, you know, it's pretty much the same. So many cases. I think it's they're slowing down the numbers. But the only thing I would say here is people are sort of living this life like it's the new normal now. So it's masks on, distancing, but people are going to restaurants. And when I say go to restaurants, it's all eating outside on tables that are distanced. And you can choose, you know, which restaurants you think are the safest. And then you go there and the waiters have like big plastic face shields.
No.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Kind of like
plastic face shields and
like
masks.
Like they wear in like literally a zombie apocalypse movie.
Yeah,
absolutely.
At a restaurant to serve food.
Yeah, Yep, that's it. Because otherwise, people aren't safe. So it really takes the fun out of out of socializing when you're like people are walking around you with big face shields and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what though? This is where robots. We've been doing all this work. Boston Dynamics have got the dogs. The you know, there's all of these upright walking robots now.
Yeah.
The robots don't sneeze. They don't breathe. They don't carry viruses.
Exactly.
And surely this is where the robot companies should be getting these robots out to serve, you know, pasta at an Italian restaurant or whatever.
You're right. You know? Wow. You're right. And also it does warrant the age of AI sort of transitioning. I can see now that, you know, the humanity because of this pandemic is slowly disappearing. You know, we now cover our faces, so you can't even see our human expressions. Mm. And we have people are wearing eye masks as well, like goggles and things like that, because they're worried about spitlets coming in there.
Come on.
Yeah, people are on planes in the States are wearing goggles as well as. So you really can't even. No one looks even human anymore.
Does that happen? Do you get a spitlet in your eye? Is that even, you know, when somebody somebody talks and you know you see the little spit projectile?
Yeah. Going, well, us three are lucky that we're so specky. You know, that we have glasses.
We're bespeckled.
Yeah.
That's the best place to probably get a virus into. Like if you were shooting, you know, heroin or something, if you could go through your eyeballs, I imagine that would get into your system way quicker. I think people do
that. Well, three-way vibus update just got into heroin through the eyeballs.
And that's it for this week's three-way vibus update. That's right. We ended with heroin injected into the eyeball.
I'm so excited that the dreaded robot uprising is going to begin with robots serving pasta in an Italian restaurant. It's not what the movies told us would happen.
That's how it all starts, man.
Yeah, we didn't see it coming that
and
way.
That's how they're going to do it. That's how the robots are going to do it. They're thinking right now, going, how will they never notice?
Would you like some pasta, sir? Oh, yes, please. Thank you very much. I noticed you don't have a face shield on. That's because I'm a robot. Oh, no, fair enough, fair enough. Oh, you look very human.
Talking about robots, let's move on to this week's weekly
world
weird. How do we do that again? Talking about robots, I've got a bit of an update. So it's time. Oh, no, that. I'm not doing this again because last time I did three edits and you've kept them all in the show.
I kept the mushrooms.
I edited myself. And I said, you know, I did three takes of something and you put all three of them in the show.
That was pretty funny though, eh?
Yeah, it was funny.
It was good.
Once I got through my furious anger.
After sessions of therapy.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do everyone's favourite segment.
Weekly World Weird News.
It's crazy. It's freaky. Watch out.
Okay, should we belt out some headlines?
Yes. Shall I go first?
Yeah.
The Croydon cat killer has struck again.
Oh.
No.
This week's show is really starting out as a bit of a downer, isn't it? We've gone from people dying in mass virus to the cat killer.
I imagined it was a bloke dressed up as a cat just killing people.
What's darker from the cryptid factor?
Yeah, exactly.
A man killing cats or a man dressed as a cat killing people?
Oh my god.
Oh, you're under arrest. Ow! Ow! Come with me. Ow! Look, Mike, we know you're dressed as a cat. You're not a cat, Mike.
So cute. We can't arrest this pussy cat. Look. Oh, so just scratch him under his chin. Give him a little scratch under his chin. Oh, no. Where you go, Mike? Where you go? Oh, cute little cat.
All right, come on.
What's yours, Leo?
Buttons. Okay.
What's yours, Buttons?
Oh, my one. Yeah, that's right. I've got one. Well, on the back of a three-way Vibus update, the pandemic has started a whole new cottage industry of zombie horror shows to help people unwind from the stresses of the COVID pandemic.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah.
That sounds counterintuitive to me.
same.
Okay. Well, also in the robot world, check this out. Scientists create an army of tiny walking robots.
Oh,
cool.
That's going to help us out. But first, let's get to this killer cat.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about Mike.
Okay, so for the last few years, there are cats that are being found decapitated. And this has been happening all over the UK, but it started in Croydon where this was noticed. And it's a weird thing because a lot of people will say that if it was a fox that was doing it, and which most people believe it is foxes doing it, foxes don't have jaws that are strong enough to decapitate a cat's head off its body. The Croydon cat killer is someone who is supposedly doing this. He's doing it to scare people, to make enemies, get revenge on enemies. So this has been going on for a long time. We have no idea who it is, if it is a person, but there have been investigators investigating this for years on end. And you constantly see news stories in the UK, Croydon cat killer strikes again. So there has been a new Croydon cat killer case that has just happened, but you won't read about it in the news yet because it only happened a couple of days ago and it happened in the garden of my neighbors, whose house I'm looking at right now.
What?
I can see the garden where this happened. Yeah, so
holy
fresh case.
Wow.
The investigators came round who've been following this story this whole time. They've concluded that it is, in fact, the Croydon cat killer.
Oh, my God.
And I actually, before we recorded tonight's show, I went over to my neighbors to get the full story. So I've interviewed them for it, and I have the interview on me if you'd like to hear it quickly.
Oh, this is outstanding.
Yeah,
this,
oh my God, you've gone into the field.
This is journalism. This is live journalism here at the Cryptid Factor. We're gonna get another Guinness Book of Record for this.
Oh, wow. So what you're about to hear are the voices of Kate and JP, who are my neighbors, and Hugh, who they reference, is their son. So here we go. And again, trigger warning, apologies to anyone who finds this disturbing.
So Hugh and I were playing football and I looked over to get the ball. And in the bottom of the garden, I thought, oh, there's a cat asleep. And then I looked further and thought, too many flies to be a sleeping cat. So then I went to get John, because obviously there's no way that I could touch the cat.
And then I was looking at a dead cat without a head. And Googled it and turned out that the official guidance is to contact a local vet.
But in the meantime...
In the meantime, Kate was advertising it on Facebook and descended on very, very swiftly by an organisation called Snarl.
So I posted it on the group for our area and also the WhatsApp group for our road. And
there's a WhatsApp group for our road?
Yeah, you're not invited.
Are you on it?
Yeah, that's the first two rules, is you don't tell Dan Schreiber about the WhatsApp group for our road.
And you don't tell Dan Schreiber about the WhatsApp group for our road.
I'm guessing they're talking about you a lot on this Facebook group. That weirdo that lives down there, he wears baby grows on his head.
Just broken the two most important rules.
Basically, two people turned up at about 11 o'clock. So it was a woman who was wearing a T-shirt about four sizes too big, which said, I'm a crazy cat lady.
You're kidding.
No.
What?
I mean, that's literally what it said. I mean, so they came in. I offered them a tea and coffee. They seemed very surprised that I would offer them that. But I did. And they said, because it was pandemic-esque, that I had to get them to sit outside. So they sat outside in the chairs. Then they said, okay. So they examined the body. And they said, have you heard of the Croydon cat killer? And I was like, oh, here we go. So they said, oh, we think it's this, but we're going to have to get the boss involved. So that was about 11 that they came.
That's Tony.
Then maybe about 1 o'clock, Tony turns up. So Tony turns up, comes into the back garden, but then for maybe an hour, they don't do anything.
They're just sitting, chatting.
They're just sitting, chatting.
They're just having like a conference in our garden.
Yeah.
Which was really...
Yeah.
And the cat is just...
The cat's just the cat's, still in the corner.
The cat's fine. Flies. Yeah, he's not bothered.
But flies everywhere.
Touch the body.
There's an initial examination to see if there's no head.
Yeah. Fairly quick examination.
Very, very quick examination. Is there a head? No, there's not.
Yeah.
By about 3 o'clock, then they come in and say, actually, I think we're going to get a journalist involved.
Right.
So at this point, I'm still thinking, oh, God, there's so many people in the garden. It's not a big garden, and there's already three people in the garden. Then half an hour later, a journalist turns up at the door.
It's amazing just like the madness of the times that we're in, that you're more worried about three people in your than a decapitated cat that may have been murdered by a serial killer.
But it was weird how they got here at 11 o'clock and it took, and they left at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Come it on. Took them 5 hours to decide that someone had scaled our wall to decapitate a cat that didn't belong to us.
It didn't take them 5 hours. They decided that as soon as they arrived.
Yeah, but they stayed for the tea.
As soon as they arrived. Yeah.
They stayed for the tea and coffee, which I was serving them. Yeah.
God, it's hardly Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, is it?
Have they been following the case? Have they been on top of other Croydon cat killers? Yeah, so basically, Tony said, look, I get that you would just apply logic and common sense to this, which is, you know, your prerogative. But trust me, there's this shadowy guy out there, and sometimes he comes back and he puts the head and tail back, and sometimes he presents it on like he presents the cat on a table in people's gardens just to like hurt people's feelings and stuff like that.
Do you know what the maddest thing of all this whole story? Is that there's a goddamn WhatsApp group for our street, and I'm not on it, or haven't even heard of it? This is unbelievable.
That's the biggest mystery.
That's the big mystery. What's going on in this secret WhatsApp group that neither my wife or I have
been
invited to?
They're wondering whether or not you're the Croydon cat killer, Dan.
I know. I tell you what, I did, when I walked out of the house that day, a few days ago when it happened, the journalist and the investigator were standing outside and they were asking about the house that was immediately next door to us. And they said, do you know who lives there? And I said, oh, at number. And I got the number wrong of the house. For some reason, I just said the wrong number. And the investigator looked at me like, you don't know the numbers on your own street. You don't know the numbers of your... And I felt this like, I didn't know who they were at the time. And I know that I was immediately put onto the suspect list as far as they're concerned.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That is amazing.
So anyway, isn't it just wonderful to know that, you know, when you think of Mulder and Scully and you think of all these like little pockets of people investigating certain things on our behalf, that out there, there is a group of people that will sit in a kitchen for 5 hours who are mulling over a mystery of cat decapitations throughout the UK.
There needs to be a documentary following those guys. We need to get a crew out. That is hilarious. It's like Sherlock Holmes, the Office version, you know.
There's a case out there for everybody. There's someone on the case. And, you know, the reality of this thing is it's very horrific. And as a cat lover myself, you know, it's hard for me to stomach. But I understand that this is happening. I really hope this guy gets caught. And I really want an update on this because it's so bizarre.
Yeah. Just bizarre to be so close to urban legend as well, you know, happening next door. It's mad.
And also, most importantly, it's a Cryptid Factor exclusive.
Exactly. The Guinness World Records are going to explode.
It's our first ever Cryptid Factor exclusive. I'm so proud of you, Dan. So proud.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry it's a horrific story because there are a lot of cats that are dying, but they're dying as part of, you know, I'm on the side of it's a fox. It's nature, and unfortunately that stuff happens. But some people are making a connection that it could be an elusive Slenderman type character out there, and the internet is jumping on board with it.
Tell me, with those guys, did they seem... I don't mean to be nasty or anything, but did they seem normal, the investigator guys, or did they seem a little bit kooky?
We all see ourselves as detectives. We want to know what's going on. Why are we here? What's going on? And anything that comes up that's a mystery, we naturally tap into a bit of our brain that goes, I'm going to solve this. It's natural to us to do that. And if you find your niche and you find the way that you can explore that on your own, then great, someone's got it covered. How wonderful is that? We're all taking little pockets of detective work. We're all PIs.
Yeah.
And Cryptid Factor is that. We're adding to the discussion of mystery.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're not going to be finished on this planet till every mystery is solved. And unfortunately, most of them never will be. but we've got to keep trying. And then, you know, when we pass through to the other side, maybe someone will be there and they'll say, oh, you didn't do too badly. You picked up on that cat thing, but you're way off track with the Loch Ness Monster, you guys.
Oh, my God. Imagine that, the debrief.
Yeah.
The post-life debrief.
Yeah. So can we go back? Can we have another go? No, unfortunately, you didn't do well at it. But we had a podcast for like 20 years. Yes, but you didn't solve much with it, did you? It was mainly joking around. I mean, what was with the outfits? One bloke had a baby grow on his head for one of the episodes. I mean, come on. All right. I tell you what, I'm sending Darby back. He can have another whack at it.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well, you go. I'm back. That's me being reborn.
Now, to the microphone.
That's a weird first words, honey, for our son.
He said he's back.
Apparently he's got a successful podcast.
He should really monetize this.
Yeah. It's been off for a while, about one Pluto year.
All right, well, that was revolting and interesting and bizarre. Well done.
Yeah.
People who love cats, it's a bit of a turn off. But speaking of turn offs, what have you got, Leon?
Oh man, have I got something to turn you off? Okay, so COVID-19 has obviously been a big challenge for a lot of businesses, and one of the ones that have had the most challenges, theatres, and you know, theatre shows. You can't go to a theatre in most countries because obviously people can't all sit there in the theatre together. But there have been some very clever and innovative companies that have sought to overcome that. And one of them is a Japanese production company called the Scare Squad. And so what they've been doing is that they've been organizing COVID-safe scare shows, if you like, or horror shows that you can go to and have these sort of interactive experiences,
right,
to be able to scare yourself silly. Now, the way they look at it is that they see this as like a therapy for COVID and for the thing. And I'm not entirely sure how that actually works, given that they...
It's like healing a wound by giving you another wound.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Very much like that.
Or I guess another analogy would be, you know, when they pull a bullet out of you or something and they get you to bite on something, and so you've got to concentrate on something else. It's kind of like it's kind of like that.
I think as well, they think screaming is therapy, right? Screaming, getting something off your chest by just going, is a massive thing. And in Iceland right now, I learned about this the other day. There's a website where you can scream into a thing and they blast it over speakers. There are 7 speakers placed all over Iceland at the moment.
Ah,
and this is done specifically for COVID-19 to get stress off you. So it must be the same thing. It must be by being scared and screaming. You're like, oh, good. I've released all that pent up tension and anxiety. Yeah. And
well, also, that's interesting. I know now that if Rosie gets really angry with me and she books 2 tickets to Iceland, I know she's going to really scream at me through 7 speakers on a continent. So I got to get ready. Race!
Do the dishes! Well, that does make sense. And, you know, that probably is what they're gutting at, because they say here that you can unwind from the stresses of the pandemic with a zombie horror show where you are literally locked into a coffin.
Oh, how
with
fun.
A perspex lid. I know. You're in a perspex covered coffin, and then these zombies, they then come up and they, you know, poking them with fake hands, you know, sawn off hands and squirting with them with water, it says here, which kind of, I don't know how that works when they're inside a coffin.
In the box.
It might be an open casket.
Well, yes. That wouldn't be very safe, though, would it?
What do you mean?
Well, you could get COVID.
Look, when I die, I don't want to be in an open casket. It's not very safe, is it? Well, you're dead.
But you'll have one with a Perspex lid.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it says, they say here, the pandemic is stressful and we hope we can get a bit of relief by having a good screen. The group are trialing this 15-minute show by basically putting people in COVID-safe coffins and having these actors scare the living daylights out of them. Now, this same scare squad, they've got another little side hustle going on as well, which I think this is genius, is a drive-through horror show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard about this. That's even safer.
That's even way safer.
Because you're in your car. Yeah.
But I kind of worry. I kind of tried to figure out how this would work, because if you drive in and you have to drive through like a little, because that's what I imagine would be amazing, if you have to drive down a little street with people jumping out at you.
Yeah.
What's to stop you not flooring it and just running somebody over? Could turn into a proper horror show.
What is it? What are you actually experiencing? Presumably it's not a proper drive-through.
Well, it is. Apparently they take 14 cars at a time and they all take the turn at passing through the scary tunnel.
Right.
And they say that you go through there, there's blood-curdling screams, chainsaw-wielding zombies, and there's, you know, all manner of stuff jumping out at you through this
tunnel. I concur with your worry that, you know, if you got scared, you put your foot on the throttle suddenly, and next thing you know, you're killing one of the actors.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because I imagined it would be more like a car wash, where you drive up, you put it into neutral, you put your handbrake on, and then the machine takes you through. Or you know.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. But the spinny things are like knives or, you know, those circular swords.
Yes, exactly.
Jesus, the car's going to be ripped apart.
Now we're developing something. This is yet another cryptid factor idea that people are going to monetize. Yeah.
Damn it.
The horror car wash.
Yeah. God, that's exciting. But you come out and it's just bloodied your whole car. It's covered in blood at the end.
Well, and I'll take it a step further. We could even do a cryptid one. So you come through and then you're being attacked by giant spiders. There's like a Yeti that hangs down and the feet like just kick the windscreen of the car. And then like sort of blood comes down and you hear these blood-curdling Sasquatch screams, and then maybe a lizard man's hand comes up the side of the windscreen and just starts grabbing you and starts pulling on the window wipers, you know.
Yeah.
That could be quite cool.
Love it.
That's awesome.
And then in the background you hear,
don't forget to tune in to the Cryptid Factor.
Guinness World Record setting podcast.
Brought to you by Baby Grow Hats. Don't let your head grow like a baby.
Yeah. You know, I quite like the idea of a drive-through horror show, being that you still have to stop and order what horrors you want at the front with some kid going, welcome to drive-through horrors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we get three zombie attacks and a, what do you want again? Sweetie, what do you want? Oh, yeah. She wants a Frankenstein hand to break through the windshield. That'd be cool.
Can we have a chainsaw axe-wielding murderer? Now, you can only have the chainsaw. We're out of axes, so you can only have the chainsaw, axe. Forget about it. I only like my chainsaw murders with an axe, bit of axe.
Actually, sorry, the family in front of you actually hooned it out of here and killed one of the actors, so we're going to have to remove one of the zombies from your order.
I knew this was going to happen, I told you! We should have gone to the Cryptid Factor car wash.
They never run out of zombies. Yeah. Nobody's ever scared in there. It's so lame.
By the way, this is just another example of how the movies have lied to us about post-apocalyptic futures. We've got robots serving pasta in Italian restaurants. We've got zombies doing immersive theater now. This is not how I thought it would play out.
Tough times, man. Tough times. The other thing is that there is the opportunity in your neighborhood. If on your street you wanted to set up a car wash, Dan, you could have the Croydon Cat Killer horror show.
Why would you even bring that up?
With the tumblers are just like cattails that come and wash your car. That's what he's been doing with them.
I'm a cat fan. I can't deal with these decapitated cute heads. Come on, let's move on. I've got some positive news here, which it does sound weird and freaky, but actually is positives. And that's about these tiny, tiny robots that scientists are making, which can be injected inside you. And
oh my God.
They walk along and they fix your diseases. So that's kind of where we're at.
They walk along.
Yeah.
I love the thought.
So the objects are the first microscopic robots that are made out of semiconductor components that allows them to be controlled and forced to walk with standard. That's forced to walk, by the way. It's like not asked. So they're obviously slave robots. But they're forced to walk with standard electronic signals, allowing them to be integrated into more traditional circuits. The researchers behind the discovery now hope that they can be built into even more complex versions that could allow for future robots to be able to be controlled by computer chips produced en masse and built in such a way that they could travel through human tissue and blood, acting like surgeons.
We've seen this before. This is science fiction leading science fact, though, isn't it? Because there's so many movies. What's the one where they shrunk down that...
Honey,
that
I Shrunk the Kids.
No. The journey through the body or journey. Yeah. What is it called?
No, it wasn't called that. It was,
Inner Earth or inner something, isn't it?
Yes. Inner space, is it?
Inner space. Yes.
Inner space.
Exactly.
That was it. That was exactly what this is. And this is the thing about science fiction. It actually surely is responsible for encouraging or at least inspiring technicians and futurists to actually go, you know what? Mm. I reckon we can do that. I mean, there's so
I think
many
it's amazing with the nanotechnology how small they're getting now. And this article is from The Independent. This is it's been all over the world on big publications. These tiny, tiny robots will be injected through hypodermic needles. And then they can be told to walk along, and they walk in such a weird little tiny way. You guys see this?
Yeah.
Really quite weird. That's it there. See? That's actually, that's him moving along.
Wow.
Come on, how small is
I know,
that?
I know.
Is there a matchstick you can put next to it?
No. But the scientists behind the study claim that the robots are the first to be created that are smaller than 0.1 millimeters.
Oh, wow. My God.
So that, it's like the width of a human hair.
Oh, that's crazy. And it can be controlled.
Yeah.
Like it's literally radio control.
Yeah. And wow. So they can then just send them down and to fix. That's still a fair distance in the future. Them being able to fix things, make them autonomous. At the moment, it says as such, they are more like marionettes at the moment rather than fully autonomous robots.
Marionettes are by strings.
Yeah,
they've
got just.
How do they get strings inside you, pulling them along? That's not a robot.
Some of the words they use here are just not accurate with our imaginations.
It's like Thunderbirds. We've just got these.
Yeah. Boop-a-doop-a-doo, boop-a-doop-a-doo, boop-boop-boo. Hey, don't go down that way. No, you're heading towards the groin. I need you to get to the brain area. Boop-a-doop-a-doo, oi, robot. Oh, God, there's a whole army of them down there now. Who's in charge of you guys? Oh, he can't even speak. That's not language. What's he doing? Yeah, get the rest of you to come up the other way and go through the veins. You need to get up to the brain and figure out what's happening with this guy. Right, here they come. Here they come.
What's going on in my body?
It is so bizarre.
It's mad.
But then what if someone injects a whole bunch of robots to fight those robots? And there's like these tiny robot wars going on inside your brain.
Yeah.
Or in your veins.
I have a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old. And when they're, 15 and 17, I can imagine a point where we've sort of turned this into gaming territory, and it would be like, okay, Dad, swallow these two robots, and they're going to race them through my body. You know, first to get out of Dad's bumhole will be the winner of the race, you know?
They'll be sitting there outside the toilet door going, which one came out first, Dad? Which one came out? I won again!
But they slowly grow as they're inside you, so you've got limited time to eject them out the other end before they become quite massive.
Before Dad explodes from the inside.
But you know, the other thing this will be good for is, you know, those medical TV shows where they're like, you know, they show them, you know, surgery, you know, reconstructing stuff and all that. This, imagine when they get them, they have little cameras on them and they're going up inside the veins, and you're literally watching the surgery from the inside with these little robots doing little surgery on the inside of reconstructing something.
That's what they're hoping to get to, and it's called Swallow Your Surgeon. And basically what it means is that
Swallow Your Surgeon!
That's what they're calling it. And
no!
Yeah, that's in the article for that, and that's what it says.
Swallow your surgeon.
And it's where the little robots go in, and it puts doctors out of a job in terms of the fact that they, you know, they don't have to do that. Because when you think about the hands-on stuff with tools, it's quite archaic, you know, that ripping the body apart, going in.
But could it not be a better name than Swallow Your Surgeon? Could they not come up with a better term than Swallow Your Surgeon?
That's what they voted for. They had a bit of a meeting. Yeah. And it's sort of, I don't know.
I like it.
It sounds like the same team that came up with the threesome Vibus.
You mean three-way Vibus update?
From the people that brought you three-way Vibus update. Brings you swallow
Look,
your
until
surgeon.
You come up with your own segment. You can't mock my new segments.
Oh, man.
All right, well, let's move on to some cryptozoology, eh?
That is brilliant. That is brilliant.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Help me!
I got a new story here. Horses in America are having their hair braided by Bigfoot.
Oh.
What?
How does that work?
That's the headline there.
We've never done headlines for the cryptid buzz.
Oh, sorry. Of course.
Yeah. He's trying to make his own segment out of a segment. You can't reuse a segment to make your own segment. What are you calling this one?
This is a shed in a shed. I'm doing a segment in a segment. This is a story that popped up on a site that all three of us tend to visit, Mysterious Universe, and it was written by a guy called Paul Seaburn. So he himself, Paul, has been going around the internet, and he's found that in Nebraska, a owner of a museum, a Bigfoot Crossroads of America museum, has said that she believes that Bigfoot activity being spotted via the way that horses are having their hair braided in really odd manners. So braiding is in, like, if you can imagine little girls sitting and braiding their hair.
Yeah, as you would with a human hair, yeah.
Exactly. Horses in Nebraska have had their hair braided in a slightly odd manner that suggests the use of human hands. And she believes, without, I would argue, too much evidence, that Bigfoot is
responsible
for it. Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's really interesting, though, and I can actually imagine it. And so these are obviously wild horses here, or are they horses that have owners? Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She's tied it in with this other thing where they've noticed there's been a lot of shredding of American flags. And one flag in particular, she's convinced, was braided, so sort of shredded and braided by Bigfoot as well. And she's actually got one of these flags, which is going on display in her museum. So this is how much she believes that this is the work of Bigfoot. So, yeah, so she thinks, much like talking about the immersive zombie theaters and the car washes, that Bigfoot does it to let off steam as well.
Right.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like the idea of them sort of just plaiting the mane of a horse. in the afternoon, you know.
In other stories, you don't usually hear the sort of downtime, the you know, the spa-like treatments that Bigfoot might engage in. And this is quite nice. Nice that they would sort of...
I'm thinking really giant foot spas. I mean, you know, that'd have to be... There's got to be a market for them now. She should put that out on her website.
What have you got, Reese?
Well, I tell you what. Here's something that we didn't bring up in any of our previous shows this month, but it has, in fact, happened this month, and it's a mysterious fur-covered sea monster which has washed up on the beach in Britain. And there's some belief it could be an ancient creature. Now, I chose to get... There's many articles on this. I went for the Fox News one because it was the latest. Because when you get to different articles and then you get the next one the week after and the week after, you know, normally updates come and more is revealed. So it's kind of worth doing that. Sometimes it's not worth just getting the first article that's come out on that because, you know... developments do occur. Let me just screen share this with you guys. Look at that.
That is out of it. It's huge.
Yeah. So is it the remains of a woolly mammoth or a decaying whale? Those were the questions on beachgoers' minds as they gathered around a giant hairy sea creature that was beached in Siberia.
Wow.
Hang on.
Wow.
This isn't the one I thought it was. I thought it was Britain. I've been... looking at so many of these articles this morning. Anyway, I'll carry on. This could be quite old. What's the date on this? Oh, yeah, this is 2018. Oh, hang on. That's not the one I wanted. Hang on, I'm gonna go back to where it was. Yeah, this is let's have a look at this one. Now, this happens quite often. Not me screwing up, but, you know, things... arriving up on the beach. Now, this is the latest one here. This is from The Sun. Okay, so you know it's the real deal. August 3rd, 15-foot smelly creature. And let's have a look at this video here. Heavily decomposed animal discovered reeking and covered in flies in Ainsdale Beach, Merseyside, on Wednesday. So the weird thing about it is if you have a look at this photo here, you can see... it's got a few things going on. It looks like there's legs, hooves, a head of some description. It's a real monstrosity. It had no identifiable head, but is furry with flippers, and stumped experts have suggested it could be a species of whale.
Okay.
It looks like it would stink. It looks like it would smell gross.
It had four flippers, which made it look most weird, and it was furry, 15 feet long, and really stunk.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Now, when it comes to the stinking things, and this is one of the theories that it's, you know...
skunk whale.
Well, no, I think it's something that a whale has thrown up.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, it is interesting because furry with four flippers, that doesn't describe... any animal that I've ever heard of.
No.
So it's like it has to be, like if it has those features, if they definitely identified flippers and hair, then it has to be something that we don't know about, right? It has to be a cryptid.
Some people think it's a cow or a horse.
Cow or a horse?
Yeah.
God.
And there's even a theory here that it was a woolly mammoth or a crash-landed alien. It almost looks like an elephant too. This is just quotes from the article. What's that bit there?
Can I just say, I did really enjoy Buttons, you just now, looking at it and going, looking at a rotting carcass going, oh, I bet that stunk. And then when Reese read out the quote saying it stunk too, you going, yep, I was right. Like, yeah. Of course you're going to be right there.
Talk about detectives. I mean, that's probably the smartest guy I've ever met.
Well, I tell you what, I'm just observational, guys, and I put myself there in the situation, and I wonder what would it be like.
These things that end up on the beach now and again. You know, it's quite a common occurrence. It's almost worth trawling your beaches from time to time to find something like that, because they're quite mind-blowing. And the fact that it stinks, I feel like it's definitely, you know, it's been vomited out of a massive whale. But what has it eaten, you know? Because they don't eat anything but krill. So that makes no sense to me at all. I take back everything I said there. It's not going to suddenly eat a giant alien horse, is it?
Well, I would be surprised. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's something can't eat something that big, so it has to be the carcass. It has to flip in the animal. So, and if it has flippers in here, I tell you.
Well, no DNA stuff's been taken on it, but that's what we need, really.
Why don't they take DNA stuff off it?
Because scientists, they're either locked down or can't be bothered. They're too busy making tiny robots.
I think they're scared, don't you? They don't want to know.
Scientists are scared of the truth, aren't they? Because once they realise there's more to life than what they're stating, they're sort of out of a job, aren't they?
I don't know. Are they in more of a job?
Yes.
They've discovered a new thing. There's more things.
Scientists, you're all fired. There's more going on and we can't understand it, so we're going to get rid of all of you, okay? You've given it a good bash. But honestly, you're not going to be able to deal with this. This is like a woolly mammoth horse sea creature that's been washed up. So it's been nice working with you.
He didn't even know it was stinky, like Buttons did. Yeah.
Not one of you suggested that it might stink.
Like, come on. And Buttons, would you like a job now?
Oh, yes, please. Can you just get these tiny robots out of my vans?
That's what's going to make me a better scientist, you know?
Yeah.
Swallow your scientist. That's the next invention, isn't it? Well, my piece of cryptozoology news is very, very brief and simple, but it's very exciting that there has been yet another Mothman sighting in Chicago.
Oh, great.
Ooh, okay.
And it now makes something like the 53rd sighting of Mothman since he started popping up in 2017.
So this wasn't during a horror car wash or anything like that. This
it's a guy on his way to the cryptid,
the cryptid drive-through.
That's part of the drive-through, isn't it? As you're driving up to it, you get a sighting, a free sighting.
You've heard of Mothman. Now stay tuned for Washman. He's he's gonna
bubble his way up.
And he'll also wash your car, which is great. So he'll be scary at the start. And this is another service we should add to the Cryptid Factor horror car wash, is that it's horrific and a bit scary, but you do get your car washed by a dude dressed as Mothman.
It's actually scary how unbelievably successful that would be.
I think it would be.
You actually go through, get horrid.
Yeah.
And then at the back end, Yeti is there.
Oh, my wife's calling.
Oh, no.
Oh, here we go. What's this?
Does she want to scream at you?
It's Iceland.
Hello. We're still on. She's laughing at me because I've got my beret on. We're still on air. What do you want?
Oh, sorry. I forgot about this.
I'll just wind things up with these bloody guys. They're wasting my time here. Another 5 minutes and I'll...
Haven't you been recording for hours? There's not that much to talk about.
Yeah, well, don't let the cat out of the bag. If you do, it'll be headless. We do record for 3 or 4 hours to make a good...
Half hour
of stuff that actually makes sense. People don't understand how much work goes into the editing on these things.
The last two podcasts, if that's the stuff that makes sense, you're in trouble.
We should put out another podcast with the stuff that wasn't in the podcast, and it's probably really normal and sensible.
What on earth is Dan wearing?
He's wearing a baby grow on his head.
A Cryptid Factor baby grow.
We've all gone completely bonkers.
I'll get back to you in important work.
Okay, I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.
Okay, well, that's what a great point to end the show on.
Yes, very, very exciting point to end on.
What was the point?
I can't remember.
What did we end on?
The point was, I've got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.